The Human Torch was denied a bank loan today.
That'd be the perfect way to warm up for this show. Damn. Unique New York. Unique New York.
Uniquey Norky.
What? Hello, and welcome to Rancor's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 1, Episode 13, Tracks. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Flowers.
Let's get talking here, sir. We just watched the brand new episode moments ago, live on ABC. For initial thoughts.
It's about time they bring out a new episode. It's been such a long time.
Oh, fuck. Pause. What?
You said Rancor's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Damn it, Rancor's Agents of Brothel. I was just corrected by my wife. And she's like, you're welcome, dick. Go shovel the driveway. Okay. Repeat, what did you say? How was the episode?
I said I'm happy to finally have one. It was such a long break. I'm tired of these breaks they keep having.
Yeah. I mean, we had the Christmas break, then we had one episode, and then we had 2 weeks off. Yeah. So hopefully now we'll continue through to the rest of the season.
Do you know specifically how many episodes they're signed on for? Or?
I want to say it was a 22 season purchase.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I mean, it could be upwards. It could be downwards. So we will see. Literally, the show's getting better every week. So I feel like those people that like cut it off after like episode 2 or 3, you know, when they kind of had the letdown after the big pilot, I feel like those people are really missing out because the show is getting Trey exciting. For example, this week, what did we see?
Well, I enjoyed that they had three separate point of views. Like, they kept going back and forth. I really enjoyed that.
Paid attention, they actually had, like, four.
Oh, four, yeah.
Yeah, because we had May's point of view, Ward's, we had Coulson's. And then we had Sky Fitz and Fitz, and then we had Simmons.
Well, I don't think Simmons had one. She was just there.
Yeah, hers kind of tied in between Coulson's and then Fitz and Sky's.
Yep.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, very interesting way to tell a story. This is something you see in, like, The Usual Suspects. Everybody tell their own part of a story and then piecing it all together on the screen. So kind of fun. Did you think the train vanished?
Yeah, at first I did. I was like, how did they do that?
What the fuck kind of magic is happening here? So that was fun.
But then whenever they went to the May story, it made it a lot more logical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because whenever they showed up to the truck that was already hot wired and running, I was like, what? That doesn't make sense.
And who would get into a truck like that on a team of industrial, you know, or not industrial espionage, but, you know, just a team of spies would be like, oh, here's an already hot wired truck running. That's not suspicious. Seriously? Seriously. I love Fitz using an American accent. Like, first of all, Sky's Scottish accent was awful.
Yes, it hilarious. Was.
But Fitz being like, yes, we would like an affordable place to eat with large portions.
Yes.
So American, so funny.
It was great.
What else, my friend? What did we see here this week? The return of Miguel Peterson.
Yep.
In a hyperbaric chamber, which is kind of cool. He is, what, now he's missing a leg. He's under control of the fucking...
Clairvoyant.
I was trying to say Merovingian, like on The Matrix 2. No, the clairvoyant. They give him a fucking crazy Iron Man leg.
What'd you think of that?
That was bitching. Like when they first put the metal stump on him, and I thought it was gonna be like a holographic, you know, like an energy based leg.
I was thinking the same thing.
But they totally made it like a badass kind of devil leg. Like it had like a reverse knee, you know, like an animal's knee. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
So that was kind of cool. And he seems to be totally fine with working for the bad guys. I mean, he has to be, or they'll blow his brain up on the inside.
I think he's also trying to work with him because of his son, too. Because of that last point where he said, can I see my son? And they said no.
Yeah, they humanized him there to let us know as an audience that he's still, you know, the same man.
Miguel Peterson.
Miguel. His name's Michael. We're just fucking with you people. points of interest in this episode. Ward goes to talk to Agent Coulson about his affair with May, and Coulson says, you know, if you ever endanger anybody on the team because of your personal feelings, then I will see to it that you're stationed in Barrow, Alaska, guarding Blonsky's cryo unit, which Natalie's like, what's that? It's the Abomination from The Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
Emil Blonsky. So if you fan girls and boys out there in listener land missed that one, that reference.
They also, it was just a small reference to Asgard again.
Yeah, another Asgard. Like, I just can't deal with Asgard right now. let's get to the big reveal at the end here. Now, oh, I'm sorry. You know,
or do you want to talk about the freezing time potion that they sent out?
Well, the freezing time, that was, they said that that was just where they had reverse engineered the night gun.
Yeah.
And just kind of worked on the chemicals there. So that's interesting.
How do you think they got that?
I mean, they had the actor Russo, they had Papa Joe Yakoveta from fucking Boondock Saints on the episode tonight. But he, I mean, if he's, you know, a dirty agent, there's dirty agents everywhere. There has to be. This is how the world works, you know?
Well, I was thinking they might have also read Mike Peterson's mind.
Oh, might have gotten it out of him.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they were able
but he,
to.
Would he have known the specs of that gun? But he did have the chemicals in his body. That's what allowed his extremist virus to not blow him up.
Right.
So I guess they could have like reverse engineered something in his blood chemistry.
Also, I mean, they probably have the same table that they have on that plane where they could blow up pictures and everything.
Was that not hilarious?
Yes. Trying to have them non-techie people use it.
And Coulson like trying to expand it and he just fucks it up completely. Hilarious. I had a problem tonight. With the show, and Coulson took his glasses off my wife's side, and I said, what? And she said, well, I already have a Clark Gregg crush, and the glasses were doing it for me. You botch. other items of note, did you notice a weird noise when Agent May got stabbed?
I did not. I think I missed that.
Okay, if you guys can, like, fucking tweet or email me mad at followthe.tv or do it on Facebook or whatever at the Rancor's Brothel page. It sounded to me like when she got stabbed in the shoulder, it sounded like it hit metal.
Okay. Well, now you're going to make me rewatch the episode just for that.
Yeah, rewind your TiVos, guys, your DVRs, and your what have yous. Get your Apple TV going. And just check that out. It sounded like, not to be a twihard, but if you watch the Twilight movies, it sounds like when they rip a vampire's limb off, it makes this weird screechy metal noise. That's the sound I heard. I don't know if that was implying something in the future. Maybe that's why May didn't want Ward to clean the wound, whereas she was fine with Coulson doing it because Coulson knows whatever's going on. I don't know.
Right.
So something's going on. Maybe. I mean, it could have just been a fucking Foley artist fucking around and could have been a complete mistake. But I thought I heard something weird. And Natalie heard it too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have brought this up.
Now, are you talking about whenever she's being hung by her
hands?
Yeah,
when she was being hung by her arms and the guy stabs her.
Okay.
In the shoulder. And she's like, it's just what I needed. First of all, she showed no indicators of pain. She was able to pull the knife out and had full use of her arms and legs. No problems.
And I also kind of
that weird metal noise was just—it was just too much for me to believe.
Now that I think about it, I don't remember any blood being there or anything.
Yeah, she wasn't seeping blood. When we see the wound itself, it's not real bloody, you know.
Right.
It's not bloody at all, really. There's just they just put the liquid skin on it. Like if you just had a knife buried 6 inches into your shoulder, it's gonna take stitches, not liquid skin.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It lends to the possibility that there might be something behind May, so
that Coulson knows and no one else does.
Potentially. Sky gets shot.
Yes, twice.
Twice. That was kind of heartbreaking. Like, the second shot, I kind of teared up a little bit. I was like, oh! So I don't know if I just had empathy for the character at that point or what, but I don't know, it bothered me.
I thought it was going to end there. Like, that was going to be the end of the episode.
Well, thank God it wasn't.
Yeah.
What was the last thing? Oh, any other points you want to talk about before we talk about our last little topic here?
Well, what do you think they're going to do with, what's her name? I can't think of it.
Sky?
Yeah, with Sky. You think they're going to be able to save her, fix her up and everything?
man, the story is too interesting with her right now as a 084.
Right.
For them to kill her off. Plus, it's an ABC show. It's a family show. I mean, that's why they have a night-night gun, and they don't use real bullets all the time. You know?
But they didn't use a night-night gun to shoot Sky.
They sure didn't, and you know what? May did not throw a night-night gun into the back of Russo.
No.
Because she whacked that bitch. Let's talk about Deathlok.
Surprise!
Surprise! You know, they on the show are trying to pull the Marvel famous post-credit scene, and at the denouement of every episode, there's this little teaser, this little, like, something for you. Sometimes it's a cameo, like Sam Jackson in the second or third episode. And sometimes it's just leading into what's going to happen on the next episode. In this case, it was, well, we found out Michael Peterson's watching, trying to see his son. You know, he's talking to the clairvoyant, asking if he could see him. It's humanizing Mr. Peterson. And the camera pans down to his leg, and it shows Cybernet, whatever. What's the name of the company? Cybertech. Yep. Cybertech, and it says Deathlok. Deathlok is a series of Marvel characters that are, what's the word I'm looking for here? I mean, do you know what the derivation of the word cyborg is, Aaron?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's like half human, half robot.
Right. It's the abbreviated for cybernetic organism.
Right.
So it has both components. Technically, if you have a cochlear implant, you could be called a cyborg because you have both parts. Okay.
Okay.
Kind of like a hermaphrodite. So Deathlok is a series of characters that have had robotic augmentations to their body. Okay. Notably, you'll see it in their limbs a lot.
Okay.
It's a super soldier kind of thing.
Yep. So even though he's already like a super soldier, but this kind of helps him.
Yeah, this is, you know, replacing the parts that get blown off that can't be grown back. So a little interesting.
Now, so I went to Wikipedia on Deathlok.
Yeah.
And the abilities, it says that all the Deathloks have right now are cybernetic enhancements granting superhuman speed, strength, durability, and reflexes, the ability to repair bodily damage, an ability to track multiple objects.
Yeah, that's the thing. Deathloks are capable of repairing themselves. So it's almost like healing, but, you know, the robot parts grow back. So, you know, like you watch Ninja Turtles back in the day, and they'd cut a foot soldier in half. Foot soldier didn't repair itself.
Right.
But a Deathlok can. So you have a limited amount of time to get away.
So I feel like the way they kind of humanized this into the Marvel universe is they gave him the whatever type of technology he had first, that bug, I can't think of it.
The centipede?
Yeah, the centipede in his arm to give him the superhuman strength and everything. Mm-hmm. And now they're giving him
they had elements of everything in that.
Right. And then now they're giving him the cybernetic part.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling he's going to be getting more and more parts and becoming more and more of a robot.
Yeah, you always see the heads of these things. They always have kind of a metal mask over them where you see like kind of goggles where the eyes would go.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Or like a half human face, half robot face.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Now, here's a question. As this show to try to tie in with Marvel movies, an interesting thought. Is this Deathlok leg that we're seeing, is that something that can be tied into the Winter Soldier, Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier? Because I don't know if you know this, Aaron, so start talking. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The Winter Soldier has a bionic arm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's not just, I mean, when you look at it in the movie, it's hard to tell, but I mean, if you're a comics guy, you know, it's a bionic arm put on by the Soviet Union, who had recovered the body of Bucky Barnes. It wasn't just the body. I mean, he was missing an arm and he had amnesia because he fell off a fucking, you know, rocket.
But in this universe, he fell off a train.
Yeah, fell off a train in the Alps or something. But if it is a bionic arm, could that be a connection between these two, between the shows and the movies? Maybe. You know, I like to think so. I like to think they're thinking that far ahead.
I would think so, too.
So
because maybe the Winter Soldier has old Cybertech technology.
Maybe. I mean, Cybertech doesn't sound like a real Soviet Union piece of technology. But, right. I mean, that's the way tech works. You know, you can sell the plans from a piece of tech to any other company you want, and they can build from those root areas and work their way up. So it's very possible that his bionic arm is related to Cybertech in some way, right?
I hope.
So, I don't know. Kind of interesting.
How are you liking the big bad guys they're making in this series?
Quint and stuff, yeah, and the clairvoyant. I'll be very excited to find out who the fucking clairvoyant is.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting.
What do you think of the super humans they're making too, like Deathlok, Graviton, Blizzard?
I like what they're doing. How they're using B and C list supervillains.
Right.
They're not taking anybody major that's going to be optioned for a movie. And they're, I don't know, they're, you know, having fun with it. I'd like to see the return of Graviton. But Graviton is, when Graviton comes about in the comics, and the pilot episode of Avengers, I love Graviton in that.
Right.
You know, he is a soup, and so it would require the superheroes to take him down. So it wouldn't be, you know, like, if Graviton came back in the show, would it be dumbed down powers? You know, they have to have, like, fucking Chris Evans do a cameo and come in and fight him? I mean, what's going to happen there, you know?
Right, because if he knows all his strength, he's really strong.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he can affect gravity through his mind. He can change gravity on any object, or gravity's effect on any object, increasing it or decreasing it as much as he wants. So,
right.
In the cartoon, he held the Hulk down using gravity. So, or if the Hulk's going to attack you, just release gravity from him. Let him float away. Fuck it.
Yeah, just do it real fast, because he'll just fly away.
Yeah, like when he does one of his big, huge Hulk jumps.
Yep.
God, he'd shoot off like a rocket. He'd be out of the fucking atmosphere. So, I don't know.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. Tell us what you think. Take it to the comments. Go to iTunes. Give the show a 5-star rating. Review the show. Talk to us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/group/RancorsBravel. Email me, Matt@followthe.tv, or email Aaron at cowboysbuttsdrivemenuts@gay.com. Yeah, and that's it. And since Stan Lee was on the episode, let's sign off with Stan Lee's favorite sign off, and that is Excelsior.
Excelsior.